kayo'y nakikinig sa SBS Filipino. Pakinggan niyo pa ang kwento sa sbs.com.au/filipino.
SBS, a world of difference. You're with SBS Filipino on mobile, online, and on radio.
Kayo'y nakikinig sa SBS Filipino sa mobile, online, at radio.
Nais naming kilalanin ang mga tradisyonal na nagmamay-ari ng lupain na kinakatayuan ng aming himpilan. Nagbibigay galang ang SBS Filipino sa mga Kamaraygal people ng Guringay Nation at nakakatandang miyembro ng kanilang komunidad noon at ngayon. Kinikilala rin namin ang traditional owners mula sa lahat ng lupain ng mga Aboriginal at Torres Strait Islander kung saan naroon ang aming mga tagapakinig. Ngayong Lunes sa SBS Filipino.
Pagdating ko dito, pinurso yung nag-a-apply ko ng kitchenhan and any related sa kitchen para ma-enhance yung skill ko and then getting my qualification as well, pinurso ko na rin.
Sa trabaho, visa at iba pa, alamin kung paano ginagamit ng isang Pinay sa Queensland ang RPL o Recognition of Prior Learning para maging qualified chef. Ang proseso tutukan.
I'm the founder of the business, right? And I'm also the CEO. My business partner, we're co-partners, we're co-founders, we're equal, right? But when we walk into our room together, the first assumption is that I'm his assistant.
At ngayong Women's Month, kilalanin ng Phil-Australian CEO na pinapatunayan ang galing ng kababaihan sa tech industry. Ang kwento, pakinggan. Lahat ng yan sa isang oras ng balitaan at impormasyon. Samahan niyo ako, TJ Korea. Pero bago yan, narito munang may init na balita sa oras na ito. Sa ulo ng mga balita, Partido One Nation inaasang manalo ng isang pwesto sa lower house ng South Australia. Iran nagbabalang isasarang Strait of Hormuz kung itutuloy ni US President Donald Trump ang banta nito. At ex-tropical cyclone Narelle, posibleng muling maging ganap na bagyo. Sa detalye, inaasahang makakakuha ang One Nation ng isang pwesto na maaaring umabot ng apat sa lower house ng South Australia matapos ang halalan sa nasabing estado kung saan natalo nila ang Partido Liberal at nakapagtala ng 22% ng primary vote. Kung tama ang projections, ito ang unang pagkakataon na mananalo ang partido sa labas ng Queensland. Sa kasalukuyan, higit sa 60% na mga balota ang nabibilang kung saan ang resulta ng One Nation na itinuturing na patunay na paglakas ng kanilang puwersa sa politika. Muli namang naluklok sa kapangyarihan ng Labor Party sa pamumuno ni Peter Malinauskas at sinabi ni Federal Social Services Tanya Plibersek sa Channel 7 na solido ang pagkapanalo nito.
I think the One Nation story is a really interesting and important thing for us to look at and understand, but the real winner on the weekend was Peter Malinauskas.
Nagbabala si Prime Minister Anthony Albanese laban sa pagkakahati-hati ng lipunan matapos makuha ng One Nation ang pinakamalaking resulta nito sa halalan sa South Australia sa loob ng ilang dekada. Naakit ng partidong anti-immigration ang higit sa isa sa bawat limang botante na itinuturing na pinakamataas na bilang mula pa noong halalan sa Queensland noong taong 1998. Sa kanyang pahayag sa Immigration Museum sa Melbourne, binigyan din ng punong ministro na maliban sa mga First Nations people, ang lahat ng Australiano ay mga migrante o nagmula sa lahi ng mga dayuhan.
We need to be vigilant. There are some, including some in political life, want to turn back the clock to an Australia that is no longer who we are. And we need to call out those people, and we need to continue to cherish our diversity as a strength for our nation, which it is.
Kinundinan ng Australian National Imams Council o ANIC ang mga pahayag ni One Nation MP Barnaby Joyce kung saan inihalin tulad nito ang migrasyon mula sa mga Muslim na bansa sa pagbili ng baka na depekto o isang bad deal. Gayon din ang pagmumungkahi na itigil ang Muslim immigration. Ayon kay ANIC spokesperson Bilal Rauf, ang ganitong pananalita ay nag-aalis ng pagkatao sa buong komunidad at nagpapakita ng kawalan ng alam sa kasaysayan at mga pagpapahalaga o values ng Australia. Ipinagdiinan naman ni South Australian One Nation leader Corey Bernardi na walang anumang bahid ng racism ang nasabing mga komento ni Joyce sa kabila ng panawagan nito na itigil ang Muslim immigration.
You're not comparing anything. You're just using a simile or a metaphor to say, hey, this is what we should be doing, and he's to put it in an agricultural parlance. I mean, it's only the lefties, the bleeding heart lefties who don't want any talk about immigration that refer to this sort of stuff as racist. I'm really sorry that you've done that.
Sa ibang balita, naglabas ang pamahalaang federal ng 5 pangunahing inaasahan para sa mga data center at AI infrastructure developer bilang bahagi ng National AI Plan ng Australia. Binibigyan diin ang mga alituntunin ng pag-una sa pambansang interes, sustainableng paggamit ng enerhiya at tubig at pagpapalakas sa lokal na kakayahan at trabaho para sa mga Australiano. Ayon kay Innovation Minister Tim Ayres, bukas ang bansa sa negosyo kung ngunit dapat siguraduhin na ang mga bagong proyekto ay makakatulong sa pagdagdag ng supply ng kuryente at hindi magiging pasanin sa ekonomiya. Update naman sa mga tensyon na nagaganap sa Middle East, nagbabala ang Iran na agarang isasara ang Strait of Hormuz kung itutuloy ng Estados Unidos ang banta nitong atakihin ang mga power plant ng kanilang bansa. Nagtakda si Pangulong Donald Trump ng 48 oras na deadline upang muling buksan ang nasabing lagusan habang nagbanta naman ang tagapagsalita ng Iran military na si Lieutenant Colonel Ebrahim Solfagari na gaganti ito sa mga energy at desalination site sa rehiyon. Tatagitin din anya ng militar ng Iran ang mga power plant at IT infrastructure ng Israel bilang bahagi ng kanilang paghihiganti sa banta ng Amerika.
If U.S. threats regarding Iran's power plants are carried out, the following punitive measures will be implemented immediately. The Strait of Hormuz will be completely closed and will remain closed until our damaged power plants are restored. All power plants, as well as the energy and information and communications technology infrastructure of the Zionist regime, will be extensively targeted. All similar companies in the region that have American shareholders will be completely destroyed.
Nanawagan naman si Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu sa international community na sumama sa Israel at Estados Unidos sa laban kontra sa bansang Iran. Ayon kay Netanyahu, ang mga missile attack sa mga lungsod ng Israel at malapit sa mga banal na pook sa Jerusalem ay patunay na ang Iran ay isang anyang malaking banta sa mundo. Pininindigan ng punong ministro na tama ang kasalukuyang hakbang ng Israel at Amerika, lalo na't nanganganib din ang mga lugar tulad ng Diego Garcia at ang mahalagang lagusan sa dagat.
Israel and the United States are working together for the entire world. And it's time to see the leaders of the rest of the countries join up. I'm happy to say that I can see some of them beginning to move in that direction, but more is needed. President Trump's call to have the international community confront this terrorist fanatic regime of zealots, that is a call not only for the security of America and the security of Israel, it's for the security of the entire world.
Balita naman sa Pilipinas, inanunsyo ni Pangulong Ferdinand Marcos Jr. na magsisimula na sa ika-anim na Abril ang rollout ng fuel subsidy para sa iba't ibang transport sector sa buong bansa. Ang hakbang na ito anya ay upang matulungan ang mga tsuper sa pagtaas ng presyo ng petrolyo sa dulot na dulot ng tensyon sa Middle East sa pagitan ng US at Israel laban sa Iran. Nauna na din nagpamahagi ang Department of Social Welfare and Development ng ayudang cash relief assistance para sa mga PUV driver sa NCR na papalawigan sa iba pang rehiyon matapos ang mahal na araw. Naglabas ng babala ang Bureau of Meteorology sa Kimberley, Western Australia dahil sa posibleng muling paglakas ng ex-tropical cyclone na Rel bilang isang ganap na bagyo. Inaasahan ng malawakan at matinding pag-ulan at malakas na hangin sa pagitan ng King George River at hangganan ng Northern Territory simula ngayong Lunes. Ayon kay Senior Meteorologist Jonathan Howe, may posibilidad na umabot sa Category 3 ang nasabing bagyo pagdating sa Pilbara Coast sa mga susunod na araw ng linggong ito.
As we head into Tuesday, it is expected to rapidly intensify back into a tropical cyclone. That's as we look into Wednesday, and by Thursday morning could reach severe Category 3 strength. And at this stage, it is expected to remain off the Pilbara coast, but we could still see very strong to gale force winds right along the coast, as well as large waves and showers pushing down into the second part of next week.
Narito naman ang lagay ng panahon para sa mga pangunahing lungsod sa Australia. Sa Perth, bahagyang maulap sa temperaturang 30 degrees Celsius. Sa Adelaide, maaraw sa 31. Sa Melbourne, bahagyang maulap sa 25. Sa Hobart naman, maulan sa 22. Bahagyang maulap sa Canberra sa 27. Sa Sydney, may mga pag-ulan sa 27. Sa Brisbane naman, may mga manakanakang pag-ulan sa 28. Sa Darwin, may mga pag-ulan at mahangin sa 30 degrees Celsius. At iyan ang mga balita sa oras na ito. Ako ang inyong lingkod, DJ Korea, para sa SBS Filipino.
Dagdag kaalaman na mabilis tandaan. Pakinggan sa Alam Mo Ba?
Quezon City, Davao City, Cebu City sa Pilipinas, City of Melbourne, City of Perth, City of Sydney sa Australia. Pare-parehong lungsod, pero alam mo ba na may pagkakaiba sa sistema ng pamamahala ng dalawang bansa? Sa Pilipinas, ang mga lungsod ay pinamumunuan ng isang mayor bilang chief executive, kasama ang vice mayor at ang sangguniang panglungsod na siyang legislative council ng syudad. Ayon sa Local Government Code ng 1991, itinatakda ang mga opisyalis na ito at ang kanilang mga tungkulin sa pamamahala ng lungsod, kasama ang pagbuo at pagpapatupad ng mga pulisiya, paglulunsad ng mga serbisyo at pagbibigay ng direksyon para sa kapakanan ng mga mamamayan. Ang city mayor ang may pangunahing tungkulin sa pangangasiwa ng mga programa at serbisyo ng lungsod, pati na sa pagrepaso ng development plans at pakikipagtulungan sa council at iba pang opisyalis ng gobyerno. Sa Australia naman, hindi ganun kadirekta ang kapangyarihan ng isang mayor. Ang mga local councils o city councils ay binubuo ng mga councillors at isang mayor o minsan tinatawag na Lord Mayor sa mas malalaking lungsod. Ang council ang kolektibong naghahatid ng mga serbisyo at nagtatakda ng mga pulisiya para sa komunidad. Ayon sa official local government guides, ang mayor at councillors ang nagtatakda ng direksyon at ang mga patakaran para sa council, habang ang chief executive officer o CEO ang nagmamanage ng mga araw-araw na operasyon at empleyado ng konseho. Sa Australia rin, ang mga council ay may responsibilidad sa mga lokal na serbisyo at pasilidad tulad ng mga kalsada, parke, libraries, tubig at waste collection, gayon din ang mga community facilities at pagpaplano ng lokal na pamayanan. Ang council ay binibigyan ng kapangyarihan ng state o territory legislation tulad ng Local Government Act sa Victoria para magpatupad ang mga lokal na batas at serbisyo. Sa madaling salita, sa Pilipinas, malaki ang direktang kapangyarihan at responsibilidad ng City Mayor at City Council sa pagpapatakbo ng lungsod batay sa isang pambansang batas. Sa Australia naman, ang local government ay mas kolektibo at nakabatay sa batas ng estado o teritoryo kung saan ang council ay pangunahing nagdedesisyon at ang CEO naman ang nagpapatakbo ng araw-araw na serbisyo.
Alam mo ba kung sino ang buwan?
Alam mo ba kung saan ang mga...
Alam niyo ba na ang buwan?
SBS Filipino sa radyo, online at mobile.
At nagbabalik po ang SBS Filipino, TG Korea pa rin po ang inyong kapiling. Solo flight muna po tayo ngayong araw ng Lunes, 23 ng Marso, taong 2026. Kamusta po sa mga nakatutok ngayong umaga? Kayo ba'y nakikinig sa radyo? O baka na sa digital TV? O baka naman na sa live stream sa SBS Audio app? O sa aming website, sbs.com.au/Filipino? At syempre pa mga kwento ng mga Pinoy sa Australia, mga balita, impormasyon ang hatid namin araw-araw sa inyo. At ngayong Lunes nga, naku, bumangon na ba yung mga kababayan nating mula sa weekend na naman? Pero hirap na hirap. Naku, kasunod ng kasamahan nating Annalyn Violeta na nagtrabaho sa weekend pero pagod na pagod tuloy at nawala ang boses. Magpagaling ka, Annalyn. At syempre yung mga kababayan nating rumarakit pa din at nagtatrabaho pag weekend, magpahinga din po kayo. Kailangan na nilang pahinga at para din makabawi. Lalo na sa Australia, laging ang sinasabi dito na malaking bagay daw ang work-life balance. Kaya naman ako, samantalahin na natin. Ano? Kaya naman yung mga kababayan natin, makinig lang ngayon at magpahinga yung mga nasa bahay o mga bumabaybay sa kasada. Ingat-ingat din po. Baka mag-grocery na kayo ngayon. Ay nako, kami muna ang kasama ninyo sa inyong pagbiyahe. At syempre nga, nabanggit natin kanina na iba't ibang mga kwento ng mga Pinoy sa Australia ang hatid natin ngayong araw. At syempre kasama na dyan ang mamaya sa trabaho, visa at iba pa. Aalamin po natin kung paano nga ba ginagamit ng isang Pinay sa Queensland, sa Regional Queensland, ang RPL na tinatawag. Narinig nyo na ba yan? Yun po yung Recognition of Prior Learning para maging qualified chef. At yung iba pa, hindi lang sa pagiging chef yan, sa iba't ibang klase ng qualification. Ano nga ba yan at ano yung pwedeng gawin para makakuha ka ng RPL, para hindi ka na mag-aral o pwede bang sabay RPL tapos at the same time meron ka ding pag-aaral pero konti na lang. Malalaman po natin yun mamaya sa trabaho, visa at iba pa. At mamaya din kikilala natin ng isang babaeng Pinay na CEO ng isang tech company dito sa Australia. Pero ang kahit na successful na o medyo nagkakaroon na ng pangalan sa larangan ng industriyang yan, inakakaranas pa rin daw po ng mga workplace biases gaya nung mapagkakamalan siyang assistant dahil babae siya o napagkakamalan siyang secretary ng kapartner niya sa negosyo. Ano nga ba yung mga hamon na ito at paano niya hinaharap? Malalaman naman natin yan mamaya sa hatid ni Nikki Gregorio. Samantala, sa pagkakataong ito, kilala natin isang Pinoy nurse naman na gustong maglumipat o mag-move on dahil sa mabait na karanasan sa pag-ibig. Pero alam niyo po ba na nahanap niya ang oportunidad sa Australia bilang isang travel nurse? Nako, ano ba yung pagiging travel nurse? Ano ba yung advantage niya at disadvantage ng propesyong ito? Lalo na pag nagmo-move on ka, pero nagmo-move ka pa din sa iba't ibang bahagi ng Australia. Alamin po natin ang kwento hatid ni Sheila Joy Labrador.
I had this dream that I want to, you know, go abroad like my dad. My dad's an engineer but working in UAE, so all over the Middle East. So I just want to do it as well. It's not really a calling for me, but gradually I learned to love the job as well, and then made me come into nursing. Like, I'm a jack of all trades. I know from medical to fractures.
Sa murang edad, puno ng pangarap ang tubong Cagayan de Oro, nurse at isang New Zealand citizen na si Lindell Cuevas. Ang sakripisyo ng amang engineer sa Middle East ang inspirasyon niya para mag-abroad hanggang mapunta sa Australia taong 2024. Kwento niya, bago ang Australia, higit isang dekada siyang namalagi sa New Zealand bilang nurse. At kung nagbago man ang takbo ng kanyang buhay pag-ibig doon, ito din ang nagbigay daan para makita niya ang malaking oportunidad sa Australia bilang isang travel nurse.
Based on my attitude and upbringing, I'm just going with the flow. So it's my coping mechanism because I don't really have friends out in New Zealand. Don't have anything to hold me there because I'm single now and I want to explore more. So I decided to go to Australia, see what is in here. And yeah, pay is good. So I was happy.
Dagdag nito, dahil sanay sa emergency department sa ospital sa New Zealand. Hindi madali, pero sabi niya, kinaya niya ang mga pagbabago sa kanyang trabaho dito sa bansa.
Application-wise, it was fairly easy because that it's just a transferable license. You can just apply and they'll approve you pretty much quickly. It's just that the problem when I arrived, they got the job is similar, but the protocol is kind of different. So you have to learn it quickly when you go to a job. So every state as well in Australia has got different protocols. So the job is fairly similar, but the protocols are different. The forms are different. So you get to be to learn it pretty quickly because as a agency travel nurse, they expect you to be good at your job, and then you pick up stuff quickly. You need to be experienced enough to do travel nursing because when you arrive in an area as a travel nurse, you only get like a couple of hours of orientation and then that's it. They just leave you to do your job. So you need to do. You need to be knowledgeable enough to do what needs to be done. I'm an ED nurse, so pretty much I'm a jack of all trades.
Magdadalawang taon na sa bansa si Lindell, kaya halos nalibot na niya ang buong estado at teritoryo ng Australia. Ibinahagi niya ang ilan sa mahalagang kaugalian bilang isang travel nurse. Isa dito ay marunong makibagay o mag-adapt kung saan kinakailangan ang kanyang serbisyo.
You need to be flexible enough to adjust to their patient load or patient demographics. Mm-hmm. And also need to adjust as well and how they do stuff because it's a bit different. Mm-hmm. So when you arrive, they're going to do an orientation. You need to know where the protocols are so that you can access it pretty quickly and just follow it. If you are a travel nurse, you know where to come in because pretty much if they are permanent staff, they know mm-hmm. what they're doing and you can't just barge in. If you need to know what they're doing and then you can just fill up what's missing. And depending on the agency nurse's experience, then you can do so much more. But if not, then they can just put you to an area where there's less critical patients. But I'm an experienced nurse, so they put me more in a critical patient, so the one who's not doing well.
Malamig at maganda ang tanawin sa New Zealand, pero sabi ni Lindell, bilang isang travel nurse sa Australia, ito ang isa sa magandang nangyari sa kanyang buhay.
I haven't seen, like especially the animals in Australia are quite different from New Zealand. We don't have sharks there in New Zealand, so I rarely see sharks or crocodiles. So in Australia, I frequently see sharks or crocodiles and just take a video of them. Oh, there's sharks. There's crocodiles. I'm scared. Yeah, stuff like that. And also, an experience-wise, I got to see the view of Australia from anywhere, from everywhere I go to. So it's quite nice just to absorb this area and have walks in up in whereabouts, up in like bushes.
Hindi lang yan ang perks o benepisyo na kanyang natatanggap. Libre din ang kanyang tirahan.
Your accommodations are free, so you don't need to pay anything. All you need to buy is your food and your basic necessities, and that's all. And then,
How's the pay?
They pay better, actually, because if you work as a permanent person, a permanent staff, you got this annual leave allocation. But if you travel nurse, there's no more annual leave allocation. It all goes to your pay. So it's bigger than usual as well, actually. And there's more adjustment as well, overtime pay and stuff like that. When you work afternoon, there's a different rate. Work evenings, there's a different rate. It all adds up basing on your base pay. Mm-hmm. So it's quite, it pays better than a regular full-time job. So I kind of like it as well.
Bagamat maganda ang sahod ng travel nurse, isa sa downside dito, pag-amin ni Lindell ay palagi kang palipat-lipat ng lugar na pinagtatrabahuhan.
Well, I'm still single and then just want to move around as much as I can. Because this job really, travel nursing is not really for family people as well because of the, it's just like the fly in, fly out people because you tend to be away for a while. But it all depends on the family. But for me, while I'm still young as well, to go around the country, so I'll be doing it for the next, I don't know, 5 years more and save up. I've been saving as well. So yeah, I want to buy like the Australian dream, buying a house and stuff like that.
Isa din sa hamon na kinakaharap ng mga travel nurse, lalo na sa tulad niyang walang pamilya, ay ang pangungulila o loneliness. Sa karanasan nito, dito nabuo ang kanyang hobby.
When you work somewhere new, you get to be like all alone with a sense of loneliness because you don't know anyone. And then when you, after work, you just go home and then you'll be alone again. Initially, it was a bit difficult because for me, I don't have anyone. So I started to have hobbies. I go to the gym, exercising. I sometimes call my friends in the Philippines just to check up on them, how they are. Because growing up, I was taught to be more self-aware of myself. If I feel like I'm a bit depressed, I need to do something about it rather than getting it worse.
Sa dami ng dagok sa kanyang buhay, sabi nito, isang biyaya ng Diyos ang prinsipyo niya mula noon para malampasan ang lahat kahit pa ang magaspang na pag-uugali ng ilang mga pasyente. Sa katunayan, naging inspirasyon pa nito para pag-igihin at palakasin ang kanyang dedikasyon sa propesyong napili.
It's part of my personality to treat people the same way I want to be treated even if they don't. As a nurse, you get to see different behaviors all across the board. So you have this nice and kind to aggressive types. Even if they're aggressive, it's not their fault because they're taught like that growing up. Or I usually respond to the behavior, not the persons.
Nagpapaalala din siya sa tulad niyang healthcare worker na kailangang matutunang alagaan ang sarili at mental health para magampanan ng husto ang pag-aalaga at pagtulong.
People are very unwell. You see this constantly and slowly it eats you up while you are working in a job such as ED. That's what we call bruising of the soul, is what they say. Yeah, it's a bit difficult.
So sad.
Which probably as ED nurse, which usually ends up in, if you're not careful enough, ends up as a compassion fatigue, is what they say. Naubos na yung compassion mo, wala nang natira. Pag-uwi mo sa bahay, medyo wala ka na maibigay na compassion. Kaya naging magalitin ka na. But you need to be aware of this. Do a self-reflection again. Or probably you need a holiday.
Nagpapasalamat din siya dahil kahit papaano'y naging bahagi siya kung saan pinapalakpakan at hinahangaan ang mga Pinoy bilang isa sa mga magagaling na healthcare worker sa buong mundo.
So I'm not ashamed to tell them because of the perception they got when it's a Filipino. When they get a nurse as Filipino, they're good workers, they're good nurses and stuff like that, you know. So yeah, it just warms my heart, and when it warms my heart, I'm more likely to do more, like to pursue, even though na medyo mahirap ang trabaho. So work pa din, ayan, pupursige, kumbaga.
Sa ngayon, wala pang planong magpahinga ang travel nurse na si Lindel Cuevas. Mag-iipon siya para sa pangarap na bahay dito sa Australia at madala ang kanyang mga magulang sa Australia na kinilala niya ngayong bagong tahanan at para makapagsimulang muli para sa pangarap na sariling pamilya. Sheila Joy Labrador para sa SBS Filipino.
trabaho, visa, at iba pa. Trabaho, visa, at iba pa.
I didn't really have a qualification as a chef kasi yung mga inaral ko before sa Hong Kong is just like short courses, but before that it was really my dream to become a chef. So pagdating ko dito, pinurso ko ng pinurso yung nag-a-apply ko ng kitchenhan and any related sa kitchen para ma-enhance yung skills ko. And then I decided to try na mag-apply sa restaurant, hoping na they will give me a chance. So, ayun, I start in there, and then until now, I keep pursuing my skills and then getting my qualification as well. Pinurso ko na rin.
Patuloy ang hawak sa pangarap na maging chef ni Janice Medio mula sa Sunshine Coast, Queensland. Nagtatrabaho siya ngayon sa gobyerno habang kumukuha ng casual role bilang chef para makamit ang qualification sa pamamagitan ng RPL.
Yung toy, nag-apply ako work sa kitchen. I'm still working in the kitchen na Italian restaurant here. This is a Sunshine Coast. And then at the same time, I work in a hospital as food service. So, dalawa yung work ko at the moment. I give up my full-time work as a chef. And then I work as a food service assistant sa government hospital. But then, I'm still on my, I go back as a casual with my previous job na bilang chef.
Malaking bagay niya ang RPL or Recognition of Prior Learning dahil hindi niya na kailangan pumasok mismo sa eskwelahan.
Hindi talaga siya yung pag-aaral. Ano lang talaga yung pinaprocess ko at the moment is yung RPL na i-assist nila yung skills ko. And then through that, I can get my qualification as a chef already.
Yung RPL na yun, yung mga experience mo sa Hong Kong, tama ba? O pati dyan sa Australia, parang pinagsama-sama na.
Dito na rin din sa Australia kasi dito sa Australia, dito ako natuto. Yung pinaka-major ano ko talaga is yung work dito sa Italian restaurant na yung my boss, they really give me an opportunity to learn and at the same time teaching other people as well.
Ayon sa Australian Skills Quality Authority o ASQA, ang Recognition of Prior Learning ay isang lehitimong bahagi ng Vocational Education and Training o VET sector at ng Australian Education System. Kinikilala nito ang mga skills o kasanayan mula sa karanasan. Kinakailangang sumailalim ng individual sa competency-based assessment mula sa qualified assessor kabilang ang pagtukoy sa mga kailangang training upang mapunan ng kakulangan sa kaalaman at skills ng isang tao.
At the moment po, I'm still processing on my RPL kasi we need like at least 3 years na experience sa kitchen, commercial kitchen. But when I resigned din po, I only took, it takes like 2 years and 4 months out of the restaurant. So I still need to have like, ilan ba yun? At least 6 months para ma-continue ko yung RPL. So far now, malapit na ako. And then, I'm ready to go na i-assist nila yung skills ko.
Yung RPL na yun, paano mo nalaman yun?
Nalaman ko lang na instead magbabalik ako sa school or mag-undergo ng internship. So inano ko yung, ang hirap kasi i-balance eh. I have my personal life and then work and then ito pa yung pinaka gusto kong puso na yung pagiging qualified chef. So nag-search para yung shortcut at the same time na ma-qualify ako. So nahanap ko yung RPL. So search lang ng search. Ayun, may nakita ako na mag-a-assess. So hopefully this time, mapuso ko na talaga. Kasi may time pa rin ako.
Sa paliwanag ng ASQA, sinusuri ng RPL ang kakayahan para makita kung pasok ba ito sa mga requirement ng isang kurso. At may tatlong itong klase ng pag-aaral. Una, ang formal learning o formal na pag-aaral. Ito yung mga inaral na sa eskwelahan na may certificate o degree, gaya ng kolehiyo o vocational course. Pangalawa naman ang non-formal learning o di-formal na pag-aaral. Halimbawa, nag-training sa opisina o may in-house seminar. May itinuro pero hindi ito ang regular na diploma. At pangatlo naman ang informal learning o impormal na pag-aaral. Ito ang mga natutunan sa aktwal na karanasan sa trabaho, sa pamilya o kahit sa mga hilig. Ang informal learning ang tinahak ni Janice kung saan nakahanap siya ng registered training organization na tumutulong ngayon sa kanya.
Pero yung sinet ko lang na parang siyang isang agency yata na mag-a-assist sa'yo na magpupunta sa workplace mo tapos i-assist yung skills mo, ano yung mga natutunan mo, then magpapasa ka ng mga requirements na kailangan nila, mga videos, anything na mga files na yung makakatulong sa sarili mo na like you really qualified for that qualification. And then once na ipasa mo yung lahat, pupunta sila sa workplace, and then yun na, kakausapin nila yung boss mo, and then they will see na if you're really qualified as well.
Ayon pa sa ASQUA, obligasyon ng mga registered training organizations o RTOs na i-alok ang RPL sa mga estudyante, maliban na lamang kung may espesyal na limitasyon ng lisensya ng kurso. Tinitiyak nito na ang bawat aplikante ay mabibigyan ng patas na pagkakataon na mapatunayan ang kanilang galing sa harap ng mga kwalipikadong assessor. Para sa mga naganais mag-apply, mahalagang ihanda ang mga dokumento bilang ebidensya, gaya ng mga record ng nakaraang pagsasanay o skills, deklarasyon o patunay mula sa mga naging employer, mga resulta ng mga nakaraang assessment o pagsusulit, at student records na mula mismo sa ASQUA. Nilinaw ng nasabing regulator na kung sakaling may mga bahagi ng kurso na hindi sapat ang ebidensya ng aplikante, hindi ito nangangulugang bigo ang aplikasyon. Dito papasok ang tinatawag na gap training, kung saan ang mga partikular na bahagi lamang na kulang ang kailangan pag-aralan ng estudyante upang makompleto ang kanyang qualification. Sa bahagi ni Janice, patuloy niyang inaayos sa mga dokumento habang binabalanse ang trabaho at personal na buhay. Mahalagaan niyang nai-enjoy niya ang bawat hakbang ng proseso, lalo na tutok siya sa dessert station ng restaurant.
Focus ako dun sa menu ng restaurant. At the same time, I'm creating some, I'm on the larger section focusing on desserts and entrees. So ang ginagawa ko, nag-create ako ng mga special desserts, like anything na with Italian, alam mo na, yung Italian vibe. And then at the same time, I bring food as well, like Filipino, because I want to share, you know, how we Filipinos sharing our food. Kasi alam naman natin, pag Filipino, mahilig tayong mag-share. Kinagandahan doon, na proud ako na kahit Italian nag-work ako, I still bring some Filipino food to share with them.
Bagaman unti-unti nang natatamasa ni Janice ngayon ang kanyang pangarap, hindi rin naging madali ang kanyang mga naging karanasan sa buhay, lalo na bago dumating sa Australia. Mula Pilipinas, naging domestic helper ito sa Hong Kong sa loob ng 5 taon mula 2013 hanggang 2018. Ito anyang nagturo sa kanya ng kahalagahan ng pasensya, disiplina at pagsisikap. Sa Hong Kong din nakilala ni Janice ang ngayon asawa nitong Australiano. February 2020 dumating sa Australia si Janice. Mula tourist visa, nag-apply ito ng partner visa. Bagaman malapit na itong maging citizen ngayon, tanda pa niya ang hirap ng simula, lalo na't panahon ng pandemya nang siya'y dumating.
When I arrived here, yung mga challenges ko dito is yung how to adapt the culture and also yung language barriers, since Aussie is very slang na hindi mo masyadong maintindihan. Saka yung weather as well. Kasi napaka-humid compared sa Hong Kong that time na it's same as like a tropical like Philippines. Pero pagdating ko dito, parang nalibago talaga ako. Parang culture shock aside sa COVID na wala akong magagawa. Parang I feel isolated that time. But then my partner keeps helping me how to adapt everything. So parang naka-adapt na rin. So far so good.
Malapit na matapos si Janice sa kanyang RPL at hindi na ito makahintay na magamit ang kwalifikasyon para makamit ng tuluyan ang kanyang pangarap.
Ilang buwan na lang, pwede ko nang ma-apply lahat. I mean, magpapasa na ako ng lahat, magbabayad na. And then, yun lang, mga 3 months na lang siguro kailangan kong punuin. And then, makapag-pursue na ako dun. Kasi I asked my boss then na if he can help me, my RPL. I said, yeah, why not? He's really supportive sa gusto kong mangyari sa sa career. Kasi he knows na how passionate I am. Sabi niya, school, it's not about the school. It's about your skills and your how passionate you are sa gusto mong gawin. So yun, nakatulong din yung boss ko na mag-move to this sa akin na ipursue yung ganun sa akin.
Maaaring hindi para sa lahat ng RPL o Recognition of Prior Learning, kaya mahalagang alamin muna ito. Paalala ng ASQUA, siguraduhing rehistradong training provider ang lalapitan para sa inyong RPL application. Nananatiling mahigpit ang ASQUA sa pagpapatupad ng Rules of Evidence. Ang lahat ng RPL ay dapat valid, authentic, current at sufficient upang mapanatili ang mataas na kalidad ng edukasyong teknikal sa Australia. Ang ulat na ito ay pangkalahatang impormasyon lamang. Para sa espesipiko at naaayong payo sa inyong personal na sitwasyon, kumonsulta sa isang eksperto, abogado o kinauukulang ahensya. Ako si TJ Korea para sa SBS Filipino.
Trabaho, visa at iba pa. Trabaho, visa at iba pa.
At nagbabalik ang SBS Filipino, TJ Korea pa rin po ang inyong kapiling. Naku, maraming salamat po sa mga nakikinig ngayong araw, lalo na isa sa mga nakikisa din si Tito Violi Calvert na nakaka-relate daw sa isa sa mga nakapanayam kanina ni Sheila Joy Labrador. Naku naman yung mga experience talaga ng mga kababayan natin, lalo na yung mga migrante dito na mga Pinoy, ay maaaring magkakaiba ng timeline, maaaring maaga tayong dumating o yung iba matatagal na dito o yung iba naman nagpaplano pa lamang, pero may mga pagkakapare-pareho ng karanasan, lalo na yung mga pagiging migrante dito sa Australia. Kaya naman, kung kayo po may mga kwento din na nais yung ibahagi, ipadala nyo po yan sa SBS Filipino Facebook page at Instagram. Eh, nilike nyo na ba? Punta nyo na yung telepono nyo kung hindi nyo pa nalalike ngayon. Punta nyo na, hanapin nyo po yung SBS Filipino, i-follow nyo na rin po at i-like. At makikita nyo yung mga iba't ibang kwento ng mga Pinoy dito sa Australia, gayon din ang mga balita at impormasyon na kailangan po ninyong malaman. At sa pagkakataong ito, isa pang kwento ang hatid natin. Isa pong Filipino-Australian CEO na pinapatunayan naman ang galing ng kababaihan sa tech industry. Pero sa kabila po ng kanyang tagumpay at mga naranasan, nakakaranas pa rin ito ng workplace biases. Gaya po ng laging na pagkakamalan siyang laging assistant o sekretary ng kanyang partner sa trabaho o partner doon sa kumpanya. Paano niya nga ba hinaharap ang mga hamon na ito? Narito po ang panayam ni Nikki Gregorio.
I'm the founder of the business, right? And I'm also the CEO. My business partner, we're co-partners, we're co-founders, we're equal, right? But when we walk into our room together, the first assumption is that I'm his assistant. And then, of course, I have to give my business card. And they get really shocked. Oh, wow. And then from that perspective, kasi parang the way that you have to prove yourself is different, right? Parang, what do you have to say? So there's that level of you have to prove yourself extra hard.
Girl boss, yan si Pauline Pangan, ang CEO at founder ng Zenai Digital. Ngunit, kahit malayo na ang kanyang narating, aminado siya na dahil nasa male-dominated industry siya ng tech, kailangan niyang patunayan ang kanyang sarili bilang isang babae at migrante.
My parents got me when they were 18 years old. My mom was pregnant with me when I was 18 years old. When I tell Australians about that, they get shocked. But for me in the Philippines, during that time, I think it's quite common. I'm not sure. Correct me if I'm wrong. So they were really young when they got me, high school lovers. So of course they had no choice but to get into business. So they had a lot of different businesses. We had like a billiards once. That was when I was in university. We had like a Counter-Strike business. We had like a restaurant. So they really are entrepreneurial, like a mom and pop shop kind of businesses, like really grassroots. So I've always just seen them bouncing from one business to the other, like in terms of like what the trends are and just navigating the different economics in the country. Yung time na billiards in business namin was really the peak of Efren Bata, right? So obviously it was fun for me. It was so hip, it was so trendy. And because my parents were so young, right? So they could really become friends. But for me, I just saw that regardless of the challenges that they were facing, go lang sila, and go lang sila ng go. Until they had to migrate to the US because I think the last business venture really wasn't growing anymore. But I also saw that because they didn't really have the formal education, the way that they ran their businesses was really just based on, grit and wiles and street smart. And look, it worked well for us because it allowed us to have a good education.
Nag-aral si Pauline ng Hotel and Restaurant Management sa College of St. Benilde at pagkatapos ay nagtungo sa Singapore upang magtrabaho sa events management.
So, I was working in Singapore as an events and marketing manager. That was really my first fancy job out of school, right? From there, I learned how to pitch. I learned how to close deals. I learned how to execute marketing campaigns. I met a lot of business leaders already because I was already in boardrooms, like pitching to customers. After 3 years of working in that company, the global crisis hit 2008, and Singapore was badly hit. I didn't lose my job. I was lucky enough to stay in my job, but it was really depressing. Everyone, they were losing their jobs. The economy was really bad. So I decided maybe it's time for me to go back to the Philippines. And I said, you know, I've learned enough from this business. I think I can do it on my own. So a lot of people were saying to me, I was crazy to do that because I had a job and, you know, I shouldn't have taken it for granted. And when I went back to the Philippines, it wasn't all romantic, right? It took time for me to find my way. I had like a business venture that failed miserably. You know, I sort of ended up in debt. And then I started and I went back to my roots. I said, okay, I know what I'm good at. I started doing the events and marketing campaigns. And you know what I did? I just like printed a business card. I called a friend na, who has a connection with SEC. I said, hey, I want to register my company. I want to run events and marketing campaigns. That is what I was doing when I was working in Singapore. And then I started cold calling. That's all I did. Talagang I was disciplined. I said, I'm going to call every person that I know and say to them, I've started a business. I'm running events, marketing and campaign, integrated marketing. If you know anybody who needs it, I called every day for hours, right? Any person that I can reach out to. And eventually I won my first deal. Like, I was like, somebody trusted me. You know, to be honest, for me, when I think about itong mga gantong memories, I always tell people that when you're decided, the whole world opens up to you and opportunities come your way. So that's sort of a lesson that I learned. And, you know, eventually, like people started referring back to me. So those who didn't have any opportunity for me eventually told me, oh, you speak to this. Oh, I remember you're doing this now. Talk to this person. That's what started everything for me. So, and then I ran the company in the Philippines for a good 5 years. This started in 2011. And then about 7 years ago was when we decided to expand in Australia. But first we expanded in Singapore, but Singapore was a very hard market for us because of ASEAN markets. It's different language, different culture, different entity for each country. It was so hard for us to localize. My business partner, one of my business partners is Australian. The other guy is Kiwi. So they said, why don't you just move to Australia? Because it's a much more mature market. This is when we became a Salesforce partner in the Philippines. That was a bit terrifying, right? It took a lot of courage to leave everything where I was really comfortable. I've established myself to start again somewhere. But those challenges that I faced really prepared me for being ready to be here.
Yeah, actually, I think that's what a lot of people miss about us migrants. meron na tayong na-build back home eh.
Yes.
It's not like totally nothing eh. You've built a career, you have your friends, your family and all
network.
Of that. Network. And then you come to another country, start from scratch talaga.
So exactly.
How was that experience coming here? Kasi talagang that was such a big parang pikit mata na lang talon, di ba?
Yeah. So, that's exactly right. Pikit mata talon.
Kasi you're from Binild as well.
Yeah.
So sa Pilipinas, when you say Binild, oh wow, okay, you're from Binild. So meron ang automatic reactions. Pero here, iba eh, di ba?
So, they don't know nothing. They know
exactly,
nothing.
Exactly.
So they only have you as the reference, as a point of reference. You know, there were periods where I was mistaken. So I'm the founder of the business, right? And I'm also the CEO. My business partner, we're co-partners, we're co-founders, we're equal, right? But when we walk into a room together, the first assumption is that I'm his assistant. And then, of course, I have to give my business card. And they get really shocked. Oh, wow. And then from that perspective, kasi parang the way that you have to prove yourself is different. Right. Adam, what do you have to say? So there's that level of you have to prove yourself extra hard. But, you know, to be honest, I'm used to that. Because even in the Philippines, we are so blessed. Another thing I have to brag about, that women are strong. We were raised strong. We were raised to be leaders. And we see a lot of female leaders in our country. We had the first female president, you know, Pari Aquino. So for us, it's not surprising to see women shine in board meetings and businesses. But even then, being in tech, advising, you know, men, like middle-aged men, when I was 27 years old with tech, I was already taken, like, you know, like, not seriously. I don't have to prove myself extra hard. So it's not like it's a new environment for me coming from Philippines to Australia. So I think I've always just had it that, okay, because I look young, I'm like the odd one out in the business setting, in the boardroom, that I need to be on my guard. I need to be, you know, I need to prove myself extra hard. Din lumalabas yung a little bit of imposter syndrome. Parang naging ano na siya, naging vicious cycle na rin siya. But I don't use it as a negative thing. I think because it made me stronger. It made me work harder. I didn't take for granted the privilege that I'm in. Yeah, overall, like I see that, oh, these men, they don't see me as the normal one. It's not their fault. I don't really blame society or community. It's just that it's an opening. It's starting to just change in our culture, in business, in tech. And I'm part of that change. You and I are part of that change, right?
Actually, yeah, that's very true. Because even in schools, majority of those enrolled in tech are men.
Yeah.
It's just it's slowly changing because I mean women need to know tech in whatever industry they're in. So
absolutely,
it's changing a lot. But with you, kasi sabi mo na you've always kind of had to prove yourself na hindi, I'm also an owner. I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm saying. So what was the most parang memorable moment na you had to kind of you felt na, hey, teka lang, look at me. I know what I'm doing.
There are so many instances, especially in the Philippines, because just imagine, we are so ahead of our time. During that time, we were selling a technology, like a Salesforce.com. This was back in 2012. We were in a boardroom. I can remember my first customer, like Meralco. We were in this boardroom of like 15 middle-aged men. I was like 28 years old, right? But for me, like, it's always like the look on people's faces. At first, of course, there's that level of fear from my side. When I speak up, I was a lot softer because I didn't want to command the room. I didn't want to feel like they feel like I'm intimidating them, or I don't hold my space, right? You know, the looks on their faces when I start talking, because what's important is that I'm very passionate about what I do. I'm very clear about the value that I could create for them, and I'm able to articulate that. So there's that moment in the beginning, and it hasn't changed as in until now. So what changes me? I'm just used to it, right? That look on their faces. But after some time, when they realize that, okay, you know, she knows what she's talking about, and she's here to be able to create value, that sort of disappears. But I want to use my position to inspire other people. I think it's a responsibility for those who are ahead of us to be able to create that opportunity for other people. I like working with women. I like, you know, organizing things and providing opportunities, not just in employment. I also don't want to be biased, you know, because I have a lot of incredible talent that are men too. I don't want to be biased on both sides, right? I want to be able to provide opportunity. We just need to do that for each other and not judge people based on their gender and based on their race, based on their capacity and their willingness to learn.
Maraming salamat kay Nikki Gregorio sa bahagi ng panayam na yan. Kay Pauline Pangan na isang women in tech o yung CEO ng isa sa mga tech industry na nag-migrate dito sa Australia. Nakakatuwa yung ilang bahagi ng kanyang mga nabanggit doon, ano? Lalo na yung nararanasan niya ng mga workplace biases. At hindi nakakatuwa, pero nakakatuwa kung paano niya ito tingnan. Ibig sabihin kung paano niya ito baguhin yung pananaw niya at gamitin niya yung ganung klase ng sitwasyon para mas mapa-improve pa o mapaigting pa yung kanyang pagkatrabaho, 'di ba? Yun ang mga nabanggit kanina ni Pauline at maganda din nabanggit niya na yun nga, sana may maiwasan yung mga biases na yan lalo na hindi man sa babae, sa lahat ng maaring uri ng diskriminasyon na mararanasan ng mga migrante, hindi lang sa Australia kundi sa buong mundo, kasi kahit sa atin sa Pilipinas, may mga ganyan din tayong nararanasan lalo sa trabaho o di kaya sa pang-araw-araw na buhay natin. Maaari niyo pong balikan ang panayam na yan. Ngayon din ay papanating mga kwento dito sa Australia, sa SBS Filipino. Gayon din ang mga balita at impormasyon. Puntahan lamang po ang aming website sbs.com.au/Filipino at gayon din sa ating Google Play at App Store, i-download ang SBS Audio app. Nasa mga streaming platform din tayo, nasa Spotify, Apple Podcasts at YouTube Podcasts. Natapos naman pong isang oras ng balitaan at impormasyon araw-araw makinig sa SBS Filipino. Ako po ang inyong lingkod, DJ Korea. Maging mabuting Pilipino, nasaan ka man sa mundo.
Nice yung bang makinig na iba pang kwento na tulad ito? Makinig sa Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify o sa iba pang podcast apps.